Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle coming out of Penn State's bye week, looking ahead to Maryland just a little bit. We're coming back to you from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light to help us analyze Penn State's bye week and what happened in the first 3 weeks of the season, what they're trying to accomplish with that time off, and then going into Big Ten play, which of course starts at Maryland Friday night. We're going to get some help from James Franklin here. He met with the press, last Wednesday to talk about all those things. Really got into some of the team's issues and what their plans were for the bye week. And I want to start with one of, I guess we can call it an issue. I suspect that James Franklin is getting sick of being asked about his running backs, but I think it's something that is worth asking about again and again. So he addressed that situation and more or less said that not much has changed.
Yeah, it is what it is at this point. We got four guys. We kind of keep getting asked this question, but we got four guys that we're going to keep playing until someone separates. The answer hasn't really changed at this stage.
The answer hasn't really changed. I think James Franklin is opting to show what the answer is instead of discuss what the answer is for whatever reasons he has. I don't think there was much to gain in his shoes to be like, oh, yeah, no. Journey's been better than Ricky. Ricky's down a little bit. Like, I don't think he has, even though everybody can see kind of with their own eyes and can see what their intentions seem to be against Pitt. He went the company line. I do think that based on what happens against Maryland, he's going to have to face the same question again. Everybody wants to know what direction this is going to go in.
Right.
And I don't think it's just like people like us who want to try to force an answer out of him. I think fans want to know, like, this is not a conventional situation. Four guys is not a conventional situation. You can't use all of them in a way that keeps all of them busy.
Right.
So what exactly is the objective here? I don't think it's unfair to ask this question again and again, just like that's happened every week of the year so far.
Exactly right. Yeah. So, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but I do look at it like this. If Penn State wants to continue to use four running backs, that's fine. But at what point are you doing that and sacrificing the opportunity to get, you know, one or two guys in a rhythm and you know, game flow is important. And we heard them say before that, well, in the fourth quarter, we'll go with the hot hand. And Noah Kane doesn't play after seemingly being the hot hand against Pitt, you know, after that one series and they helped lead a touchdown drive. So I don't know. I would say this. I think you hit the nail right on the head. I think they know exactly how they want to do this moving forward, and I think that they decided not to show their hand yet, and why would they? James Franklin's been notorious for that during his Penn State career, for not giving away any more information to his opponent than he has to, even if it comes at the expense of frustration from fans and media. So, you know, as always, with that kind of thing, if it works out, you know, nobody will question it moving forward, and if it doesn't, then, you know, the questions will continue. But he doesn't seem all that interested in answering any more questions about how that rotation is going to play out.
Jim, I'm going to say it again. Having a four-man running back rotation is a great opportunity. It's also a great responsibility. I'm going to keep saying it because what you end up doing is that you end up putting your coaching merits right in the middle of this.
Yes.
If you don't have a clear direction, if you're waiting to see how each game flows before you decide who's getting what, you're putting, in my opinion, is an unnecessary burden on yourselves as coaches for not having made the decision in the first place. That's just what I think. And what happens is just what you described. Noah Kane, it seemed like the logical choice. They have to think through, okay, who's going to be on the field? It just, to me, just seems like an unnecessary coaching distraction in the middle of games to try to sort out who's who when there's not really any good rhyme or reason for it.
Right.
You know, maybe the opponent dictates that you use this skill set as opposed to this skill set. You just ended up making yourselves coach a little more than you probably need to.
Yes.
All right. The next one was just about the bye week itself and the timing of it. It's a short and sweet quote that I think is worth going over one more time.
I would have hated the timing of this bye week if this was the only bye week we had. But with two bye weeks, I think it's really good.
So again, nothing crazy complicated here. It's just the idea that Penn State's got, everybody's got two bye weeks. You get two opportunities to get your guys healed up, to get on the same page, to work on stuff that you've seen, to self-scout. And I think what James Franklin likes about the bye week is the opportunity to do that now. If it were the only one and you're faced with playing nine more regular season games without another break, that's another thing. But I think I like the timing of it. You know, it seems to be a kind of a natural break to end the non-conference schedule, to kind of get your ship pointed where you want it to point
right
for the Big Ten schedule.
Yeah, exactly right. I think it's a good chance to rest up. I think it's a good chance, obviously, to get out on the road and recruit a little bit, but also figure out after three games what tendencies you have in a good way and a bad way. And it seems like, I don't know if you're catching on to these little hints that James Franklin's dropping, but it seems like him and Lance Leopold are pretty close. He said something during his bye week news conference to the effect of, well, it's helpful when, you know, you have friends and stuff that you played, you can go back and talk to about what they saw on tape against you. And I'm pretty sure he's not talking about Pat Narduzzi. So, you know, I think that that's valuable as well. But, you know, just a chance to rest up and get ready for action against, you know, Maryland team. It's hard to get a read on what they are. You know, on one hand, yeah, they have looked very good. And on the other hand, you know, I think that that they, you know, clearly aren't consistent yet, and neither is Penn State, which makes this a pretty interesting matchup.
Yeah. So is it wrong to have followed along? And I was actually out of the house, and I was following on Gamecast for Pitt to be down 34-28 and for me to be saying, please kick a field goal. Please
yes,
kick a field
right,
goal. Hey,
right.
We need two scores anyway here. Two threes ties it up.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was. But I think you're right about, you know, and he's been pretty clear about his relationship with Lance and the ability to be able to go back to an opponent and to a guy that you have history with and somebody who you trust who gave you some problems
right.
And to be able to go back and ask, you know, what were you trying to do? Like what,
right.
What did we, I mean, that is a very valuable resource and it's something that the bye week affords. On the self-scouting front, here's what James Franklin had to say about, you know, the ability to take some time to do that and not being able to do it in the grind of the season.
Yeah, to be honest with you, we're not done it because of the way we practiced. We really spent most of our time early in the week on Maryland, and then we're going to be doing self-scouting. The coordinators are here tomorrow and the GAs the rest of the time. So we've started it, but we'll get deep into it over the next couple days and then be able to focus on that come Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
All right, so this is for James Franklin was speaking last Wednesday, more or less said that they were going to get things pointed to where they can spend the weekend working on themselves. And the difficulty of doing that or spending any kind of extensive period of time, like a lot of that stuff seems probably it comes up in film study, you know, when you miss an assignment, when you do this wrong, when you whatever the case might be, you can look at it, you can discuss it. But how much time in practice can you really dedicate towards fixing something
right.
that might be a problem that's been following you for multiple weeks?
Yeah.
This past weekend was a chance to really do that.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. It's just simply an opportunity to sit back and say, okay, we don't have to cram in game plan this week. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sure they did a little bit of work to get ready for Maryland in terms of installation and things like that. But, you know, you can go out there and you can have a non-travel squad scrimmage Wednesday night and not have to worry about how much time you might be losing for your starters to learn or do this or your key backups to get in this situation or that situation. So it's just a nice chance to get a breather. Obviously, you know, Maryland has the benefit of that too. So it's not like Penn State's getting a free walk in the park here. Maryland has a chance to rest up and figure some things out as well. So, you know, I'll just be interested to see how Penn State looks different next week or this coming week rather against Maryland, if at all, just more so and more than anything else in terms of the rotations that they use. I know Sean Spencer obviously rotates a lot of guys, but are we going to see as many running backs? Are we going to see as many offensive linemen? Are we going to see as many different guys in the secondary? You know, or will they tighten those things up? That's one of the more interesting things I think to watch for on Friday night.
One of the other components of the self-scouting is, as you mentioned a little earlier, is looking at the tendencies that you show offensively and defensively and trying to address those.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like always, there's some tendencies that you have offensively, defensively, special teams. tendencies all aren't always a bad thing. It means you're good at some things. But then there's also some things that obviously you fall into some patterns that you want to tweak some things to disguise. So whether it's, you know, running a play out of certain formation, whether it's defensively, whether you're tipping things by always running a pressure to the three technique or to the shade or whatever it may be, we look at those things. And then it's also having conversations with people that have broken you down and some of your opponents as well.
So when James Franklin is mentioning tendencies, if you're a defensive coordinator, Greg, what are you saying to yourself, I got to take this away to slow down Penn State's offense?
Well, I think the first thing would be it clears. I mean, it's been what they've been trying to do since 2016, and that's you got to limit explosive plays against this team. I mean, if you allow the KJ Hamlers and Jahan Dotsons of the world to get behind your defense and you don't have help over the top, forget about it, because they are not afraid to launch the football down the field. Again, like we talked about earlier, if Sean Clifford misses the pass or if the receiver doesn't end up where he thinks he's going to, you know, that doesn't matter how much of a step the Penn State guy has. But, you know, I think that's the first thing. You have to be sure of that. And then you have to be sure that, you know, whatever running back's in the game, you know, I think opposing defenses have to think and stop and think, okay, what are they trying to accomplish with this guy in the game? Because Ricky Slade, Noah Kane, Journey Brown, Devin Ford, they all do things a little bit differently, and they all have strengths that, you know, are a little bit better in areas, and then they all have weaknesses that are, you know, some of the others are a little bit better in those areas. So I think there's clearly always a concerted plan for when those guys come in. I think when you are an opposing defensive coordinator, you have to, again, you have to do those two things. You have to slow down the deep explosive plays, and you have to realize that there's a guy in there probably for a good reason, and then what is that reason, and what do they have to do to stop that from happening?
And I think the explosive plays thing is a good working example of what tendencies can do for and against you. So for an opponent to come in and have reviewed the film and to know that you are unafraid on first and 10 to take shots down the field, okay, good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good tendency. To know that it's coming and for you to do it anyway, again and again and again, that's where the tendency works against you. I'm not saying that Penn State does that. I'm just saying the fine line between a tendency being a good thing and being a bad thing. And I think one of those things that creating the explosive plays is what you're doing on first down, what you're doing to stay on schedule, what you're doing to kind of prop yourselves up to make those plays down the field. It's going to be a big part of this Penn State offense. The question is, can they keep surprising opponents by doing it, taking shots on running situations, for example, and can they manage to stay kind of on schedule on their own down and distance while still taking shots? It's one of the big parts of this Penn State offense. All right, we're going to hear more from James Franklin right after this.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.